Kingston. Tipped over to Ian Clark, and Clark puts it up and in. And with 10.6 left, the Warriors take a 1-point lead. Harden back the other way. Harden steps back. James Harden with a cold-blooded shot.
Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the show where we try and take you inside the Rockets and give you the most up-to-date information about what's going on with the team. That clip, of course, was from Game 3 of the past Western Conference playoffs when just a chaotic ending finished off with James Harden hitting a virtual buzzer beater to beat the eventual Western Conference champion Warriors in the playoffs. And why are we bringing it up now? Because it really reflected the start of a tremendous offseason for James Harden. We all knew that the Rockets were not going to beat the Warriors in that series, but even with the obvious limitations, Harden brought them a pretty tremendous moment, the type that only a true NBA superstar can provide. And this whole offseason, there's been a trend of Harden taking more ownership of this franchise, that it's not James Harden and Dwight Howard's team anymore, it's James Harden's franchise, and you're seeing him evolve into the kind of leader that I think Rockets fans have wanted to see for some time. And we have talked about it a little bit this week. This is our first week here at Locked On Rockets, and with it being July, we've tended to focus on the more transaction-oriented deals. And Harden has been a part of that. He renegotiated his contract to stick around Houston through at least 2019 and hopefully a long while longer. We've also looked at Dwight Howard's exit for Atlanta, the additions of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, and also the swap of Pablo Prigioni and Jason Terry at point guard. We do think that the Nonis Mattiunas negotiations are coming to a head within the next few days. We've talked about that. But with it being July, my point is that we've been focused on the transaction wire because that's the most pressing news. However, it is not the only news. Yes, it's good that James Harden is sticking around because no matter what you think of him as a leader, he's one of the top 5 to 10 players in the league, and the Rockets are certainly better off with him on the roster than without. But in addition to that contract, one of the more encouraging things we've seen from Harden is an increased stake in the team. We've seen him do things that he has not done before. He was in the war room on draft night along with Coach Mike D'Antoni, giving advice potentially to Daryl Morey as he went through the draft process. He was a part of the free agent meetings when Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon committed to them on Saturday, July 2nd in LA. And most likely his decision to stick around and renegotiate his contract played a role in their choice to come to Houston. And most recently, we've seen Harden organizing team workouts in Las Vegas, where James, Trevor Ariza, Pat Beverly, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and even more have been on hand to really get ready and get ramped up for the 2016-2017 season. And I don't want to undersell James because he has had positive off seasons before. Certainly 2 years ago in July 2014, he worked his butt off to get on Team USA, ended up being one of the leaders of that team after Kevin Durant and others withdrew, and ended up taking that team to a gold and came in the best shape of his life to the following training camp and ended up winning MVP of the entire league as voted on by his peers, the players, last summer. So this isn't new to see him in shape, because certainly he's been in shape for the vast majority of his time in Houston and he's provided some incredible results. But what's new, it's not just him rounding into shape through his play with the Rockets or Team USA, it's him taking initiative both for himself as well as the workouts for the team as a whole, the free agency signings. There were some people that were pessimistic when he withdrew from the Olympics this summer, saying, well, does he just want to party, or is this move in the best interest of the Rockets? And I think he's shown, and he said right afterward, it was so that he could be more involved in the things the Rockets do, so that he could be involved in the free agency pursuits and the workouts afterward. And it's still early, it's still July, there's still 2 more months to training camp, but so far, he's put his money where his mouth is. We've seen a different James Harden this offseason, and if you're a Rockets fan, that's a huge source of optimism. Because there is this narrative around the league, I don't think it's fair, but there are a lot of people that question Harden's leadership. They point to the occasional defensive lapses and are attempting to brand him as, you know, the next generation's Carmelo Anthony. with James only 26 years old. I think that's incredibly premature, but it is what it is. That narrative is out there, and I think that it did play a role in why the Rockets seemingly struggled at the start of free agency this year. You know, Kevin Durant did not sit down with them for a meeting. Al Horford sat down, but apparently did not even have the Rockets in his top three by the time he made his decision. His top three were Atlanta, Boston, and Washington. And so there's just been this general pessimistic narrative. And with the expectations lowered, there is a chance now to, you know, surprise in a good way. And that's what the Rockets and James Harden are working on. And I've been thinking some of that for the past few weeks, because we see all this, these highlights on Twitter of the team working out in Las Vegas, and it's hard not to see the change. But in addition to this just being my thoughts or those of us on Twitter, Salman Ali, the managing editor over at RedNationHoops.com, wrote a great article today called The Maturation of James Harden. And he really shows you point by point how James has evolved, why this offseason is different than others, and why Houston fans may be in for a big year from their possible MVP candidate. So rather than me take you through it, I'm going to actually get Salman on the phone and let him explain a little bit more what he's noticed. So if you stick with me for just a moment, Salman's going to be with me on the other side. Salman Ali, welcome to Locked On Rockets. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. Glad to have you. Been talking the last couple of minutes. You had a great article come out very recently about the maturation of James Harden, and I thought you did a pretty comprehensive look at really his entire career and, you know, his evolution, not just as a player, but his personality. But one thing that's really stood out to me is this month. It seems like he's a very different guy in July 2016 than he was in July 2015.
Yeah, definitely. This offseason's kind of unique. I've never seen Harden behave like this in sort of a more professional manner than I've ever seen him. Like, he's acting like, you know, he understands the responsibility of carrying a franchise, and, you know, you're seeing it through the actions of his offseason. It's just the little things adding up, and I feel like he's a totally different person. You know, whether that translates to on the court and his leadership on the floor, that's still yet to come, but I mean, he's doing all the right things in the offseason.
Yeah, one thing that I really liked, you know, Daryl mentioned that he was out in the visits with Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. Now, I know he wasn't in the visits in Atlanta the day before with Kent Bazemore and Al Horford, because it's not really fair to ask him to, you know, fly across the country. You know, that's Daryl's job, not his. But the fact that he was out there in the free agency meetings with Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, to me, seemed a lot more hands-on. It seems like James was taking a lot more ownership. Whereas in the past, you know, I don't think he was really a big part of those meetings with LaMarcus Aldridge last year, to draw a parallel.
Yeah, and he actually turned down the Olympics for that. You know, he actually said like a month ago he announced his, you know, withdrawal from Team USA, and everybody was confused as to why he was dropping out, you know, whether the Zika virus or the fact that other superstars were dropping out. Nobody really knew until about a couple weeks ago. And Calvin Watkins of ESPN, he actually tweeted out that, you know, James Harden was actually, he dropped out to be in these free agent meetings and to recruit hard because he wanted to be hands-on onto the process. And that was really the first indication to me that he was committed. Like, he really was, he had a vested interest into what the Rockets were doing this offseason. And, you know, that's where I started my piece off. You know, that's where I first took notice of a different, you know, a change in James Harden.
Yeah. We're on the phone now with Salman Ali. He's the managing editor of RedNationHoops.com, and we're talking about his new piece on the maturation of James Harden. I'm going to throw out a conspiracy theory to you, and let me get, you know, I just want to get your reaction to it. I'm wondering if, at least in terms of Harden's evolution as a leader, if Dwight Howard's departure might have helped that. Because when Dwight Howard got to Houston 3 years ago, Dwight wanted to do those things. He wanted to be the face of the franchise, the guy that tried to sell the Rockets both to other players as well as around the league, in commercials, everything. And I think Harden didn't really want that. And because Dwight was willing to do it, I think it made it all the easier for Harden to just kind of step back and not take on that responsibility. But now that Dwight's gone, even though Harden's been the best player on the floor, clearly, for the past 2 years, now who else is it going to be that kind of takes the reins for this franchise from a PR standpoint? You know, to me, Dwight kind of filled that role when he was here, but with Dwight gone, I think it kind of makes that hole all the more glaring, and it's kind of prompted James to step up a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely do think there's some of that going on. I mean, we saw this with Portland last year when LaMarcus Aldridge left. You know, Damian Lillard signed his extension and took full ownership of the Blazers. Like, that was his team from then on after he signed that extension. Portland suddenly became his city, and he took a lot of ownership in recruiting free agents and, you know, just being more vocal and being the leader of the team. And I do think there's some of that going on because I do think, you know, there was, you know, with Dwight Howard in, I do think there's some ego bruising with Dwight coming in and him suddenly becoming the story. And I think it really did well for James to be that guy and be the poster child of the Rockets.
Yeah. And, of course, you mentioned this in the story, but it's not just the free agency. He's done a lot of things throughout the offseason. We've seen this past week that he's been in Las Vegas, you know, kind of guiding the workout group that also includes Pat Beverly, Trevor Ariza, and Ryan Anderson. I think Eric Gordon's with them, too. But last month, I really liked that he went in on draft night. Because when you think about it, This was not a high-profile draft for the Rockets. You know, they had two mid-second-round picks. That was it. It's not like they had a top 10 or a difference maker. Yet there's, you know, James Harden along with Mike D'Antoni just coming into the locker room. Or not the locker room, the war room, I should say.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about that is James Harden fully knows that whoever they draft is probably not going to play for them this year. You know, he's probably going to play for them in like 3 or 4 years. So that really shows, you know, James Harden's really invested of the future of this organization because whoever the Rockets are going to draft that night, they weren't going to be on the floor right away. They were going to be on the floor in 2, 3, 4 years from now. Like, they had to develop, and that really showed. You know, that's really what piqued my interest. I'm like, why is James Harden in this draft room? He knows fully that he's not going to be playing with these players. And it really became clear when he signed the extension that, he's invested in the franchise moving forward. Like, he really wants the future of this team, the outlook, to be bright. And he wants to be fully hands-on. I'm not sure if he gave his advice to the guys and his input to who they drafted, but I'm sure he was, you know, very interested in seeing who they drafted and why they drafted them and whatnot.
Yeah. The counter argument to all the positive things that we're putting out there would be that with James, it seems to go in cycles. You know, he had that bad, I wouldn't say had a bad year, but his defense lagged a little bit in 2013, 2014, and then he had a poor playoff series, poor by his standard against Portland. Then he had a great offseason. You know, he did the things with the world championship team, with Team USA basketball, and went out and had an MVP season, you know, and then he got, you know, after going to the Western Conference Finals, winning MVP, however you want to put it, whether it be injury, just resting on his laurels, he didn't come to training camp ready to play, and it took him, you know, until January or February of this year to really get all the way back. And so it just, you know, the naysayers would point out that it's a cycle. You know, you have one good year and one year where he kind of, you know, gets a little bit happy. What I would argue is that this year feels even better than 2 years ago. Because 2 years ago, while he did do Team USA, he did go to the World Championships, and he did come into training camp, you know, in good shape and with something to prove, that wasn't him necessarily leading. Now, to be fair, he did have to do some leading on that Team USA because of all the withdrawals. But, you know, it was just him following a normal pattern. You know, he's part of Team USA. This is what happens. This, to me, feels different because he's actually taking initiative to plan stuff himself. The workouts, the coming to the draft, the coming to the free agency meetings. It feels more like James isn't just staying active, but he's staying active and taking initiative.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It feels like the onus is on him to go ahead and take that responsibility and take the reins and sort of be in charge of himself coming into training camp in shape. Because that was the big worry for Rockets fans, you know, whether or not he'd come into training camp out of shape next season as soon as he dropped out of the Olympics. And then we started seeing these clips of him working out with the team, and we started seeing these workouts being organized in Vegas and Arizona and whatnot. You know, he took onus on himself to stay in shape this offseason. You know, that was all him, and he looks good. I saw some tape of him playing in the Drew League, and he looks in shape. He looks thin. He looks ready to go. And you know that you're right. He took the initiative all on his own, and I think that there's something to be said for that. And you know, the cynics will say, sure, this comes in cycles, but I would argue that I think he's learned his lesson. You know, I think sometimes, you know, you have to make the mistake of, you know, coming to camp training, yeah, you know, coming to training camp out of shape to come back even stronger the next year to understand, oh, I can't be like this. You know, to be the face of the franchise, I have to be, you know, I have to take the onus every offseason and come into camp every, and, you know, in elite shape.
Yeah.
That, I think he's starting to realize that.
Yeah. Last thing I'll point out, I'll give a shout out to Paul, aka Rocket Intellect, one of your writers over at Red Nation Hoops. He pointed out, I believe today or yesterday, I can't remember exactly when, but people don't realize just how good Harden was over the final 3 months of 2015, 2016. Well, really 2016, because the calendar had turned by that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the narrative, once it starts, it's tough to stop until you flip to a new season. And this year, you know, he did come into camp a little bit out of shape. He didn't have the fitness to play defense as well as he could the first 2 to 3 months of the year. But really, I would say that from about January onward, he was every bit as good this year as he was last year when he won MVP. It's just, you know, you wouldn't know it because by that point, there's already this narrative. And then for reasons not all related to him, the team underachieved. And so he didn't really get his due. But if you're a Rockets fan looking for optimism for last year and wondering, can Harden get it back? It's not so much can he get it back. To me, he already got it back. When you go back and look at the final 4 to 5 months of last year, I thought he was really strong, including, you know, a decent defensive player as well. Not good, but, you know, again, I'm saying going back to 2014, 2015. I guess my point is I don't think he has as far to go on the floor as the popular narrative would make you believe.
Yeah, and a lot of that was the Rockets were in a rush to get into the playoffs as soon as the All-Star break, you know, came. Like, it's the team met up during the All-Star break. They, you know, they set the objective of making the playoffs, and they made this strong push. And then James Harden took it upon himself to carry the team as much as he can. He killed himself in that second half. He played like 36 plus minutes a night. And, you know, a lot of that was out of necessity. He had to carry the team. And I do agree with you. He did play better defense. I was actually tracking that after the All-Star break. Harden was, at least his metrics said that, you know, he wasn't harming the team defensively in the second half. It seemed like he was trying. He was giving a much better effort. And it seemed like he was, you know, he was carrying the team. He was laboring out there, you know, the second half of the season. Some nights he never sat down. You know, and the only breaks he got were, you know, TV timeouts and just sitting during halftime. You know, he labored out there. And I do agree with you. You know, there is some optimism to take from that, you know, when push comes to shove, Harden will come out and ball. You know, I don't think you have to be worried about, you know, the motivation factor, at least going into next season.
Yeah. So I lied. I'm going to ask you one more question that I thought of while you were saying all those, you know, really great things about Harden's play down the stretch. And, of course, we talked a lot about his increased leadership role. I'm curious what you see the upside of this team as right now. You know, I look at the West, and I don't see any way they could ever be a top three team, because I think, barring injury, the Warriors, Spurs, and Clippers are pretty clearly a tier above. But after that, you know, there's six or seven teams you could throw into the mix all the way from 4 down to 10 that you could make a case for all of them. But to me, other than those top three that I mentioned, Golden State, San Antonio, and the Clippers, you could make a case that if things go right, the Rockets could compete with anybody else. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And what's cool about it is there's no real pressure on them from the outside, at least, to really contend or be a factor next year. And, you know, so they can play a lot more freer and know that there is no expectation for them. You know, I set the bar about 45 to 50 games as far as my expectation, and if they go over that, that's just gravy to me. I think, you know, they have a real chance to be a top three offense next year and just be a fun team to watch. And, you know, that's something, you know, sure, as fans, you'd like your team to contend every year. But just being a fun team, that bodes well for you going into next offseason when there's a boatload of high-quality free agents next year. You know, talking about the likes of Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of really great free agents next year that you can try and pair with James Harden if you just have a good narrative around the team. Yep. You know, sort of like the Blazers last year, you know, where the Blazers weren't even expected to make the playoffs last year. And they did it against all odds, and they advanced past the first round, and it really shocked the league. And there was a good feel around that team, a good vibe. And that bodes well going into free agency. Every year, you can have a fun team and have a good narrative around the team. I think that's what you should strive for as far as this Rockets team. You shouldn't. I don't think you can expect to contend next year, but you can try and just be fun and win as many games as you possibly can, and perhaps try to push a first round series, perhaps get into the second round, and then after that, you know, you're home free.
Yep. Another good example I would toss out would be the Boston Celtics. Although they didn't win their first round series, they looked very competitive. They were a lot of fun, and you know that had a big part of why they got Al Horford and the Rockets didn't. You know, I think it's the narrative. I think it's how teams are framed. And when you went into this offseason, the Rockets were coming off, you know, people looked at them as a team on a downward trajectory because of what the expectations were, how they underachieved, and there were all these questions. But now that the expectation level is lower, you've got a chance to really, basically, the most fun Rockets team of really this decade, I would say, is the first year they had Harden. That 2012-2013 group that went out and won 45 games. You know, they didn't have the pieces to be a great defense, but they were incredibly fun to watch. They overachieved. They pushed the one seed, Oklahoma City, to six games in the first round. And before you know it, because of how fun they looked, that's what led them to acquire Dwight Howard, the top free agent in the market, that next summer. So I think you've got a pretty good setup with, you know, what the expectations are now and how the team seems to be coming together to hopefully make a similar push in the summer of 2017. And of course, it all comes back to, you know, Harden signing that extension, because in addition to all the positive vibes, you can point out that Harden's put his money where his mouth is. You know, he has locked himself in so that free agents know that he is in Houston for the foreseeable future. You know, Harden's maturity is a big part of it.
Yeah, and that really tells other free agents that this is a destination franchise. This is, you know, where superstars want to be. When he signed that extension, that gave a huge message to the rest of the NBA. At least I thought so, that, you know, hey, I'm staying, and I'm not going anywhere, and I think you should come here too. And, you know, that's at least what I took out of that extension. And as you said, you have a good season, you attract a good free agent, and the script is flipped. You know, you can have a totally different outlook as to the future of this franchise going into, you know, 2017.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Salman, I'll finally let you go now. I just kept that going a few extra minutes because, yeah, I mean, I thought that went really well, and I thought you made some great points both on here as well as in your article. Why don't you just toss out your Twitter handle as well as your website where anybody can find you if they're not aware of you already?
Yeah, absolutely. RedNationHoops.com and at RedNationHoops on Twitter is where you can find me. We host a podcast every week you can check out. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Sounds good. Well, Salman, thank you so much for the time, buddy. I'll be talking to you soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
That was Salman Ali, the managing editor over at RedNationHoops.com. Really good blog covering the Rockets. I encourage you guys to check it out if you haven't already. But I thought he made some really compelling points on the changes we're seeing out of James Harden this offseason. In James's defense, part of what led to him physically not being a big factor in the 2015 offseason was that he suffered a bad ankle sprain in June that prevented him from doing his normal workouts. And as Kevin McHale later admitted after being let go, Harden was not in shape once he got to training camp, and that played a big role in the team getting off to such a sluggish start, you know, 4-7 before McHale was dismissed. But this year, it's not just that he's healthy. It's good that he's, you know, working out in Las Vegas with the team and seems to be in great shape. He's also doing things that he didn't do last year that were unrelated to the ankle injury. It's going into the draft war room, being a part of the free agency meetings. It's just taking ownership of the team. We haven't seen that before. And that's what star players have to do. That's what LeBron James does in Cleveland. That's what Stephen Curry does in Golden State. You need to see a player like James Harden establish ownership that this is his team, and that's what we're seeing now. We haven't seen that in the previous years, and there's a lot of encouragement to take out of it, because even when he's had good off seasons before, like the Olympics in 2012 and the World Championships in 2014, it was someone else leading him. You know, it was just part of Team USA, and he happened to be in great shape, and he, you know, I'm sure he learned from the experiences, but he wasn't taking the initiative to actually organize these types of events himself. This year, we're seeing him do that, and there's a case for a lot of optimism when you look at that. The other thing I would really urge is patience. I see way too many NBA fans that think leadership is something simple. Either a player has it or he doesn't. And real life doesn't work that way. I don't think there are born leaders and born followers. You know, there might be a few on the extreme ends of the scale, but the vast majority of it is situational. Somebody might not be a leader at one particular point, and they are at another. A good example is LeBron James. In the 2011 NBA Finals, I don't think he was a leader. That was his first year in Miami when they lost to Dallas. He didn't want the ball in the fourth quarter. When he was pressured by the media after the game, he put the blame on his teammates and then the fans. He was making fun of Dirk. Remember the coughing when Dirk was sick before Game 4, and of course Dirk went out and dominated that game. I don't think that was exhibiting good leadership at all. He basically let Dwayne Wade run the team. And over the next 2 years, of course, LeBron took it over. He won two rings. And now, in 2016, he's coming off one of the more amazing playoff runs that we've ever seen, leading his Cavaliers from a 3-1 deficit back to win the NBA Finals and bringing Cleveland's first title in over 50 years. It's a huge change, and most players are that way. Another example is Kobe Bryant. He was a perfect fit for those Lakers teams in 2009 and 2010 that won back-to-back rings. He drove Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom and brought the best out of them. On the other hand, that leadership style did not work as well with Shaquille O'Neal or with Dwight Howard, guys who just wanted to get away from him. He just didn't have the self-awareness to change his style. And those are two guys, LeBron and Kobe, that NBA fans idolize and I think generally are regarded as good leaders, but people conveniently forget that there are parts of their careers where they weren't and where there was legitimate doubt about them. It's just we gave them time, they evolved, and that's all NBA fans need to do with James Harden. It's not that he's been a zero. Again, his players voted him MVP. His peers thought in 2014, 2015 that he was the most valuable player in the entire league. He led a team that expectations were for a number 6 to number 8 seed to the number 2 seed, won 56 games and got to the Western Conference Finals. You don't do that without strong leadership and without culture. The Rockets in 2014-2015 were greater than the sum of their parts, and a lot of that was because of James Harden's leadership. So the negative reception he gets from NBA Twitter, kind of putting him in that Carmelo Anthony tier, I think it's incredibly unfair. We're talking about someone who's 26 years old and still feeling his way through the process. There have been some good moments, there have been some bad moments, but there's a lot to be encouraged about this offseason, and when you combine that with his age, it's very easy to make a case that maybe James Harden is figuring it out. And as I said in my chat with Solomon, I think Dwight Howard's exit could be playing a role. For James, I don't think he was ever comfortable being the guy when Dwight Howard was in the locker room, because that's what Dwight Howard wanted to do. It was his interest. It may not come natural to James, and I think a lot of times he just deferred. Right now, Dwight's gone. This is James's team, sink or swim, and so I think you're seeing a greater sense of ownership as a result of that. On that note, I think we can really wrap this up. I want to thank Salman Ali again, the managing editor at RedNationHoops.com, for being an excellent guest and filling us in on his article, The Maturation of James Harden. I encourage you guys to go read it if you haven't yet. I want to thank all of you again for listening. As I keep saying, this is your show, not mine. We want to be the bridge between you and the Rockets and take you inside the team. That's what I'm trying to do with this show. If you have questions for us, you can reach me at Ben Dubose. You can reach the show at Locked On Rockets. And if anyone would like to advertise with the show, our official email account is lockedonrockets@gmail.com. So with all that in the rearview mirror, I'll sign off and have a good weekend, Houston.